This is Near FM.
Weekday mornings from 11.
This is Northside Today.
On the line now, I have Kieran Finlay, who is Legal and Policy Officer with the Free Legal Advice Centres, or FLAC. Good afternoon, Kieran.
Good afternoon, John. Thanks very much for having us on.
Well, no, thank you for taking the call. Now, as I said off-air, I do a lot of interviews with organisations involved with domestic violence, and we're going to talk about new legal protection you're calling for. But as usual, will you just give a quick update and tell the listeners about FLAC and the work you do?
Yeah, no problem at all. So FLAC, or the Free Legal Advice Centres, as you said, we're an independent voluntary organisation, and we exist, I suppose, our main core value is to promote equal access to justice. So I suppose by that I mean that we campaign for people to be aware of their rights, that they have ways to enforce their rights, and also in certain cases as well, that people need legal representation to enforce their rights as well. There are a number of kind of arms to our operations, I suppose. First of all, we operate a telephone and information line, which provides basic legal information to people. And if there's anyone listening this afternoon that wants to call us, our number is 1890 350 250. As well, we run a network of advice clinics throughout the country in conjunction with citizens' information centres. So that's where volunteer solicitors will provide consultations to people for free in relation to any matters that they need legal advice on. And then as well as that, we work on four policy areas. So they are social welfare, personal debt law, consumer credit, and civil legal aid. So we work on them at a policy level, and we advocate for strategic and policy change in those areas. So by that I mean we conduct a lot of research, we engage with a lot of politicians, and try and bring about, I suppose, positive change for people in relation to those particular areas.
Now, talking about positive change, the Convention on the Elimination of All Forms of Discrimination Against Women, that's an international treaty, is it, Kieran?
It sure is. So the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, which is fairly long-winded and is usually cut down short to a CEDAW, so that's what usually people describe it as, it's described as really the International Bill of Rights for Women. It defines what discrimination against women is, and what it does is it sets up an agenda for national action to end such discrimination. So that's across a broad range of areas, so education, health, employment. And what it does as a treaty is it calls on state parties, including Ireland, which ratifies CEDAW in 1985, to take all appropriate measures, including through legislation, through policy measures, through temporary special measures as well, so that women can enjoy all of their human rights and fundamental freedoms on an equal footing with men. I suppose the CEDAW Convention, the implementation of it, or compliance with it, it's monitored by a committee, which is the Committee on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women. So that's an independent body of experts which monitors implementation. It consists of 23 experts on women's rights from around the world. And recently, Ireland was examined under this treaty. So in the middle of February, a government delegation travelled to Geneva. And compliance, so how the government is faring in terms of women's rights, was examined by this committee. As part of that, a number of NGOs also went over to talk to the committee about the concerns that we have in relation to the protection of women's rights in Ireland. So there was about 2 days of briefings with the committee. First of all, there was an official briefing with the committee where statements were given, official statements were delivered at a special hearing, and then the following day was a more informal lunchtime briefing with the committee members where we were able to discuss more informally our issues. And then on the third day, the state was examined itself. So what happened there was the UN committee posed a set of questions to the government about how it's realising women's rights in Ireland across a breadth of areas. The Minister for Justice and Equality, Frances Fitzgerald-Tánaiste, was originally supposed to travel to Geneva and head the government delegation, but given the McCabe controversy, and she wasn't able to travel. So the government delegation was headed by the ambassador to the Irish ambassador to the UN in Geneva. So yeah, I suppose as part of that, one of the things, and I suppose the purpose of the interview today was that we were calling for a new measure in terms of empowering victims of domestic violence. So if you want me to go on, I can talk a bit about that.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. Like, is there access there for free legal aid?
Yeah. Yeah, so I suppose one of the issues that the primary issue which we were highlighting in terms of the examination was legal aid protection, civil legal aid protections for victims of domestic violence. And what we found is that victims of domestic violence, they encounter a range of obstacles in terms of accessing legal aid. So there's a restrictive means test, which means that people have to be of a certain income in terms of accessing legal aid. But the main thing that we wanted to highlight during this examination was the issue of financial contributions for civil legal aid. So there's a common perception out there that legal aid is free legal aid, but in terms of civil law matters, legal aid isn't free. People have to pay a minimum contribution. And that minimum contribution for civil legal aid is €130. And I suppose people need civil legal aid to access things like safety orders, protection orders, and barring orders. So, for example, where someone needs to get, where a victim of domestic violence needs to get their abuser out of the house, where they need to get their abuser to refrain from, you know, acts of violence or threats against them, they need access to the courts to get those orders granted. And civil legal aid is a really important measure in terms of getting that, so people are represented in court to get those vital protections. But what we found from our experience is that the minimum fee of €130 is just unaffordable for many people and many victims of domestic violence. The €130 charge is really, it's two-thirds of a weekly social welfare benefit. So many people at the moment are receiving €188 per week for social welfare. And what they're obliged to do then is to pay €130 as a minimum contribution for legal aid, which is two-thirds of their weekly income. So for many people, that is just, it's just out of reach for them and they can't access it. And I suppose what's worrying for us is that we found that some domestic violence groups have reported instances where they've had to make requests to the Vincent de Paul to pay this minimum fee because there are victims out there who just can't get their hands on this money. But also just for other people, you know, that are not on social welfare, that might appear to be more or better well off. Financial abuse is a common ploy in domestic violence situations where the abuser will control the household funds. So oftentimes people won't have access to money to be able to go to the courts as well. So what we find is that this is a really big barrier for people in terms of accessing protection, in terms of accessing justice, and they just they're not able to afford the fee. And I suppose what our main concern, our key request, I suppose, was or is that this minimum fee and all contributions in relation to domestic violence cases are abolished. People should be able to access protection, access justice, without, you know, having any regard to their financial resources. And thankfully, this was an issue which was raised by the committee during the examination in February. So there was one committee member who was extremely strong and expressed serious reservations and concerns in relation to the fact that this was a requirement, that people had to pay for legal aid in relation to domestic violence situations. And really, you know, this was in relation to this category of cases, domestic violence cases. And she called on the state to consider abolishing or ending the requirement that victims of domestic violence pay financial contributions where they are seeking protection under domestic violence legislation. So the committee's recommendations are out on Monday coming. So we're hoping for a strong recommendation from the committee that legal aid contributions, financial contributions in domestic violence situations be abolished. So I suppose waiting with bated breath at the minute for those recommendations to come out on Monday.
And it's International Women's Day coming up. And
yes, yeah.
So,
that's the International Women's Day is on Wednesday.
Yeah.
And really, I suppose what the committee will be doing in terms of its recommendations, they won't be just covered, covering legal aid. There was a range of issues covered during the examination itself. You know, for example, situations of historical abuse involving mother and baby homes. They were talked about the constitution, and there's a clause in the constitution which says that a woman's place is in the home. So obviously there was concerns raised about that. There was concerns raised about the number of women in decision making in terms of politics, in the civil service, trafficking, you know, the gender pay gap, the gender pension gap, abortion. There was just and actually one of the things which is relevant today actually as well is the issue of discrimination against traveller women. That really was a strong issue which was highlighted by the committee in terms of the multiple forms of discrimination that they face because of the fact that, one, they're women, their gender, but also because of their ethnic status as travellers. So really what the committee will be doing on Monday is delivering a blueprint for comprehensive change and for government action in relation to a range of women's rights. And I think that's really timely, given that International Women's Day is next Wednesday.
Yeah. Now, I just want to stress that domestic violence can happen to men as well, but we're talking about women at this moment of time.
Yeah.
One of the things I find amazing and a bit disgusting, I don't know whether it was brought up at this meeting, is that if a woman and her children have to, you know, if they're suffering violence, they have to leave the home. And surely there should be some law that says the perpetrator of the violence should be the one that has to leave the home, rather than the women and children.
So I suppose that issue didn't come up in and of itself, and I suppose that's why we feel that these protections are so essential, because safety protection and barring orders. So if you get a barring order against your abuser, that requires them to leave the family home. And where you can't get a barring order, you can't just request someone to leave a home. There has to be a court order to that effect. And that's why we feel that this is such a vital and important measure in terms of ensuring that people can actually ensure that their abuser is forced or required to leave the home. In terms of what you were saying there, in terms of that this is also an issue which affects men, we would definitely agree. And, you know, there's a whole host of statistics which have been released over the past number of years as well, that this is a growing problem for men. For example, the Dublin Rape Crisis Centre reported in their most recent annual report that a quarter of people calling their phone line were male as well. So, you know, this isn't an issue which just affects women. It also affects males, although it does, you know, the large majority of people who are applying for orders are women. But we're calling for this to be made a policy or a position to be adopted in relation to all domestic violence cases, both male and female. But in terms of our work in relation to this particular convention, the CEDAW Convention, which is an international bill of rights for women, that's the main issue that we were highlighting in terms of lack of access to civil legal aid for women. But we also agree that this is an issue which affects men as well. So we do feel that this should be a contribution. This contribution should be waived for both women and men. And so hopefully we will see some change on that in the near future. You know, it was one of the things as well in terms of legal aid that we were highlighting at the review is that there are really restrictive criteria which people have to fulfil just to even access the scheme. So you have to have what's called a disposable income of less than €18,000. So that obviously cuts off a whole host of people at the start. You know, they can't even access the scheme, and that was one of the issues which we were raising as well. And there seems to be some movement from the Legal Aid Board in terms of that, because they've agreed and confirmed that they will undertake a review of the means test, so, you know, what finances they are required to have for applying for legal aid. And that's really a positive measure which must be welcomed. And it also must be said that the Legal Aid Board, you know, they do prioritise domestic violence cases, so if someone does qualify for legal aid, that case is prioritised. But, you know, it still doesn't excuse the fact that people don't often have the money to pay for this contribution. And, you know, we've been made aware of a case recently from Women's Aid where someone was forced to, a victim of domestic violence was forced to go into court by themselves. And their abuser was there. This was was a barring order hearing, sorry. And their abuser had a solicitor. They qualified for the victim qualified for legal aid, but just couldn't afford the contribution. She went into court. She said that it was really difficult. She was really intimidated by the process. She got into a bit of a fluster. Her abuser said that she was the one who was actually abusing him, and after that the victim or the court refused to grant the barring order. So the husband, there was an interim barring order in place. So after this hearing, the husband was allowed to return home, but she was too afraid to return home, and she contacted Women's Aid and asked for their help in terms of accessing a refuge. So, you know, it's a really important and vital issue for people's safety. That they have access to these orders, and we really feel that this is a simple measure, you know, as well, that they just not to say that there won't be a certain degree of cost to the state, but it is quite a simple measure. They don't need legislation. The Legal Aid Board doesn't need legislation to do this, and we really feel that it's not only important, but it's required as well. You might be aware, and you might have had, so I'm not sure if you've had, but some people talking about this. There's a new Council of Europe convention called the Istanbul Convention. It's an international convention on domestic violence specifically, and that convention provides that women must have free legal aid. And this is something which we're currently working. The government is currently working towards ratification of. But, you know, there seems to be no mention of the fact that the convention provides for free legal aid. So that's why, you know, we're arguing that this is not just an important issue, but it's actually legally required as well. And we're really hoping to see some movement on the issue in the near future.
So the UN will be giving its recommendations to the Irish government on Monday. You sound that you feel positive about the outcome of this, Ciarán. I've spoken to you before about recommendations from the UN that never happened.
Yeah.
But, you know, do you feel positive that something good is going to come with this, in particular about the free legal aid?
I hope so. You know, I think at the examination itself, the Legal Aid Board, you know, they did state that they were very aware of this issue. It's something which we've been lobbying on for the last while and engaged with departmental officials on. So we're really hopeful that they will take the right step and actually implement this change. You know, our Minister for Justice is really passionate about you know, tackling domestic violence, and she's been really you know, really positive in terms of actually bringing about improvements to the system. We really feel that this is a small improvement which will bring about massive benefits for a number of people. I suppose I know what you're saying in terms of, you know, that the government doesn't always take on board what the UN says and what recommendations they issue. But, you know, there is an imperative there that they should be implementing those recommendations. You know, we voluntarily sign up to international human rights agreements. It's not something which is forced upon us. We voluntarily do that. And where you have an independent body coming back to us and saying, you know, this is what you need to do to be more in compliance with an international treaty, I feel that there is a legal obligation on the government to actually do something to affect that change. And, you know, I think sometimes it might take a bit of time. For example, if we see today, travellers are going to finally, after a number of years of campaigning, are going to be recognised as an ethnic minority in Ireland. And that's been brought about, I think, largely because of both, on the one hand, a lot of domestic advocacy by groups such as Pavé Point and the Irish Traveller Movement, the Irish Human Rights and Equality Commission, but also because of these recommendations from international human rights bodies, which have been damning of the government. And I think the government has just realised that it's just an untenable position to have that travellers aren't recognised as an ethnic minority, and they're embarrassed by their successive UN human rights bodies, you know, asking them why you haven't done anything in this regard. So I feel like, you know, it might take a bit of time for the government to implement recommendations, but I feel where there's a good combination of UN recommendations and pressure being put on government bodies from bodies like ourselves, you know, in relation to certain issues, that we can bring about change in certain areas.
Okay, well, listen, I hope something good comes of this. I'm sure it will. And thank you. The clock is beating us. And thank you very much for taking my call this morning, and great work you're doing.
No problem, John. Thanks very much for having us again.
Thank you.
This is 90.3 Near FM.